The Legends Radio Network now presents Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Webb.
Well, the program's Lyrics and Legends, and we have a lot of fun doing these, and we've got to meet a lot of interesting people, and some of them are a little closer than you think. These guys I've known for a lot of years now, probably 15 or maybe longer than that.
More than that, yeah.
Because in the studio with me, I've got the Richardson brothers from McLean, Texas, Bobby and Carrie, and sitting in the middle, the beautiful Cameron. So we're going to get to learn a little bit about you guys and your music and growing up in McLean and how you got into this music gig that you do. Bobby, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate you.
It's an honor, even though I'm like 30 minutes late, but I talked to you a week or two ago, and we got all this set up, got the date set, so I went on vacation in Colorado, and I'm getting back, and I'm thinking, man, I got an interview with Bobby sometime, can't remember when it is, so shoot you a text, and sure enough, it's today, the day we're doing the interview, and we get all this set up, have this long conversation. Tell Carrie to dress up real nice for radio, which he did. Thank you, Carrie, for dressing up. You look mighty fine over there.
Well, like I said, I've been told to have a face for radio, and I wanted to look my best.
So you came over, you got Bobby came over, and you brought with you the beautiful Cameron.
That's right.
Talk a little bit about this young lady in the middle here.
Well, she's our baby girl. Yeah, we have three children. Our oldest is Zane. He's 34, and our younger son is Zach. He's 31. They're both married, have families, and Cameron is our baby. She's 23, almost 24, and she's an amazing young woman. And
so you got 34,
31,
and
23.
Yeah. Is there any stories there?
Mom and I thought we were done.
Surprise!
We thought we were done, and then all of a sudden, Cameron decided.
God didn't think you were done.
That's exactly right. So
the family just wasn't complete. You know.
That's right. Well, I believe that's the truth.
So anyway, Cameron has been a blessing, and she's a wonderful young woman, and we're very proud of her.
She has a great voice too. So.
She really sings well. I'm a little bit biased in that area probably, but she's got a beautiful voice. She's been blessed.
We're gonna talk a little bit about you guys first, and then kind of work our way through the Richardson family history here. You guys grow up in McLean?
I'm actually born in Groom, and my folks lived in McLean.
So you were born in Groom and your folks lived in McLean.
Yeah, you know, the hospital at the time was, I guess, in Groom where they took my mother when she went into labor. And so that's where I was born. And we lived in McLean just a short time, you know, after I was born. And then my folks moved to Lubbock. And so I pretty well grew up in Lubbock. Carrie and our other brother Kenny and I, we grew up down there. Went to school, several schools down around Lubbock, and kind of came up in the music scene at Lubbock,
which one of you guys is the big brother?
That's me.
That'd be you? All
yeah.
Right. I was going to say that, but I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah, so. Kerry is, he's the baby of the family. Kerry, he's 7 years younger than me, so.
And you got another brother?
Kenny, our brother Kenny. He passed away in 1999. He was in the Air Force, and he passed away due to a parachuting accident in the Air Force.
Oh, wow. So was he older than you guys? Or?
He was younger. 2 years younger than me,
okay.
5 years younger than Carrie, or 5 years older than Carrie.
All right. Well, wow, it's always interesting to hear that kind of stuff and find out. So you grew up in Lubbock pretty much doing music. It's amazing the music connections that have come out of that place.
Yes, it's pretty deep.
We get, matter of fact, several people we've had on here have had connections to that Lubbock music scene going way back to the 50s or so. So
right.
It's been a lot of fun to find out who's kind of gone through that. Carrie, when did you guys first kind of get into the music thing?
Well, you know, Bobby's been in music his whole life. Honestly, and I kind of grew up seeing him do those things. You know, he was in numerous bands down around Lubbock, and I'd hear stories about, you know, they did a music show at a at a park one time there in Lubbock, and Stevie Ray Vaughan's drummer used his drum set on stage.
Wow.
Know? I mean, there's some real connections there in big time music. You know, he had played with a group that opened for Quiet Riot at the Lubbock Coliseum, was in a Buddy Holly tribute band. I mean, I've had opportunity to hear and listen and see a lot of great music, you know, just in my brother's dealings. And I never really sang much. I sang a lot in the car. That's the way everybody starts out. And my big thing was 50s music. I love 50s music, and I always sang, you know, The Lion Sleeps Tonight and things like this, and I always sang the high part, which I thought was okay until I realized most guys don't sing the high part.
Now, Kerry, I know we're on radio, so there may be a few people out there that don't know you and hadn't seen you, but you're not a small fella.
He's just a little fella.
The little brothers.
And listen, I make that clear to a lot of people. I tell them I'm not any good at singing. I'm just big enough to make you listen.
Yeah, for the people on the radio, Kerry's 6'2", and, you know, he's a healthy, probably what?
300 pounds.
300 pounds. So he's just a little guy.
Just a little fella.
Just a big ball of love there.
His beautiful high tenor voice. He was blessed with it.
And, but you asked the question, you know, when did we start doing the music stuff together? We got asked to sing at a family friend's dad's funeral. You know, we sang a little bit together just messing around. But the first time we sang, what year was it, Bobby?
1997.
1997 was the first year that we sang together as, you know, for anybody. I started singing at church after going to the Baptist church for a while. I didn't start really singing until I was about 25.
So do you guys, like, have y'all ever made a name for the Richardson brothers?
No.
We've had a lot of people ask us, you know, why don't you guys record something? And it's just never been paramount to us. You know, we've always seen it as a ministry. Yeah. I have, and I know Bobby has as well.
Sure.
We've always seen it as a ministry, and it's just not been impressed on us to record it. But we've talked recently, and we do need to do some recordings, but we haven't yet.
All right, we'll get some of them down tonight. Hey, we kind of probably are getting to the point where we want to hear at least something. Maybe what do you guys like to do that y'all do together that we could give our audience a taste of?
Well, that's one thing I would say real quickly is that we're going to debut our recording tonight because we haven't really done that before, as Kerry said. So I don't know. We're going to I guess we're going to do a few things. You know, we sing mostly songs try to minister to folks, you know, in their time of loss or when you know. We try to sing for them before they pass, but we get invited to sing for folks and people come and ask us to please sing at my funeral, you know, and so we do that. We're happy to do that as a ministry. So we're going to do a song right quick. I guess we'll do The Far Side Banks of Jordan. Kerry, can we do a little bit of that? Here we go.
Believe my steps are growing wearier each day. Still I've got a journey on my mind. Lures of this old world have ceased to make me wanna stay. But my one regret is leaving you behind. Well, if it proves to be his will that I am first to go, and somehow I've a feeling it will be. When it comes your time to travel, likewise, don't you feel lost, for I will be the first one that you see. I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be waiting, drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters reaching for your hand. In this life we've labored hard to earn our meager fare. It's brought us shaking hands and failing eyes. I'll just rest here on the shore and turn my eyes away. Until you come, then we'll see paradise. And I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be waiting, drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. Then come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand.
Well, the program's Lyrics and Legends in the studio with us from the big city of McLean, Texas, Bobby and Carrie Richardson. Did the Far Side Banks of Jordan. You know, one thing, Bobby, that happened to us, things just kind of work out how, you know, sometimes you don't really plan a lot. But we, the guys I play with, started doing nursing home ministry a few years ago and playing, I mean, we play old country, we play gospel, you know, whatever. Whatever the folks want to hear, we always do a little gospel, always do a little old country and whatever. And so this last year especially, it's kind of happened over the last several years, but this last year I bet we did a dozen funerals. So that's something kind of that we have in common is, you know, those people called and request that we come play. And that's also one of the songs we like to do at the nursing home, Far Side Banks of Jordan, for people that are just tuning in. Got to hear your baby brother in the background there.
Yes, sir. You know, I told you that our brother passed away in 1999. Carrie and I sang at his memorial service at the cadet chapel at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. They had his memorial service there, and then we had his funeral in McLean. And Carrie and I sang at both services. And that song is a song that I sang to my mom and dad privately and during that time because they were devastated. And that song really, really blessed them, really ministered to them that, you know, I sang it to them as from my brother that passed, you know, as he were singing it to them, you know, so it's been a favorite for a long time.
You bet. What a great song. So you guys, grew up in that Lubbock area, and then, how'd you end up back over in this neck of the woods, or is that too big a jump to go from Lubbock to McLean?
It's pretty big. That's a pretty big jump. There's a lot of music that went on in Lubbock. I don't know if you want to talk about that or not, but there's a lot of things that went on that sort of developed who I am musically. And then, relationships happen and marriages happen and then children happen. And so, you know, life sort of happens during those times. And so my wife and I wound up moving back to McLean because my parents were living in McLean at the time, and I had several relatives there, grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins, and so we were at a time in our life when we had the ability, we were changing jobs, and we had the ability to move, and so we did. We moved back home.
So when you were in that music scene in Lubbock, you were a couple of different bands there and opened for long was that? Kind of what time period and how long did that
I started playing. Well, I'm a drummer. That's what I play. That's my main instrument. I'm a drummer. And so I started playing drums in in the 60s. I mean, I'm dating myself a bit here.
That's all right. That's what we do around here.
So anyway, I mean, I played drums all in school, you know, I was a percussionist all through school, and I played drums in garage bands and things like that. And then when I got to be about 15 or 16 years old, bands started wanting me to play with them. And so I played with, you know, several different bands. As Carrie alluded to earlier, I played with a guy by the name of Paul Waters, who was a Buddy Holly impersonator. And, you know, Buddy Holly's big business in Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
for sure.
And, you know, my parents, my dad, My mom knew the Hollies, knew the family, Larry Holly and several. But those are Buddy. That's Buddy's brother, and knew Buddy's parents. And so, you know, it was an interesting thing because we got to play Buddy Holly music for Buddy Holly's family at times, you know. And so,
right,
it's a pretty special, important time for me. And so. That's one band, and it, you know, it was a blast. I mean, we played lots of different kinds of lots of different people's music. It wasn't just Buddy Holly. We played lots of rockabilly music and things like that. But I also played with a band called Current. It was a rock and roll band there, so we played a lot of rock and roll. Gary, you never play any rock and roll, did you, Gary?
No, I might have once or twice.
So I think we all probably went through that stretch, but
An interesting side note on the Buddy Holly deal is it's funny how all this stuff kind of weaves together, and you get you know, things that happen. Bill Mack, who you know got his start here in Shamrock on the radio up the road here, KEVA, was a DJ in Lubbock when Buddy Holly was killed in the accident, and he announced that to his listeners in Lubbock that Buddy Holly had been killed in a plane accident. Well, Buddy Holly's mother first found out that he died in that car accident by hearing Bill Mack tell that live on the air.
Yeah,
it's kind of just an interesting little story that Bill told us. And
we've got an awesome Buddy Holly museum there in Lubbock. I don't know if you've ever been through it, but it's a pretty incredible deal. And one of the cool things from my past is that I was good friends. We got to be good friends with Buddy Holly's best friend. His name's Tinker Carlin down there in Lubbock. And, you know, Tinker would tell us story after story after story about the real Buddy Holly, you know, the real guy from the time they were in high school together and all the way through. Wow. And so Tinker was a great guy.
Yeah. So you did that. You did the gig with Current, the rock and roll
gig. Yeah, rock and roll thing.
Now, what time frame was this?
That was in the early 80s, probably late 70s, early 80s that we were going through that. And we actually, the band I was in at the time, Current, recorded an album one time at a club there called Abbey Road was the name of the club that we used to play in a lot. And they did a live album called Live at Abbey Road. And I don't know if anyone even still has that album or not. I know I don't. It's been gone for a long time. But anyway, we made a lot of neat acquaintances at that time. And one of the neat acquaintances we made was I got to know Jesse Taylor of Jesse Taylor Blues Band. And we called him Jesse Guitar Taylor because he was an unbelievable musician at the time. And but that's one of the cool things, you know, getting to meet people and talk to people like that. I mean, we were around folks like Delbert McClinton, you know.
Right.
And
Delbert just retired this year.
And
at the age of 80.
Yeah. And people like Joe Ely and you know, it's lots of cool folks.
I bet. So your little brother was tagging along during any of
some of that, or? He was pretty young at the time. He was a lot younger than me, you know. I'm 16 17, he's 9 and 10, you know, at that time. And so he got to be around for some of that stuff. Sure did.
So with the timeline there, and you finished up, I mean, playing with the different bands you were with, and then what was the next step?
Well, you know, we kind of, again, like I said, relationships happen, and we move away and begin to have children. And so my wife and I actually moved to McLean from Lubbock. And, you know, I'd gotten away from the bands and the things. I'd done that for quite some time at that point, you know, and for several years. And I was kind of burned out on that whole thing, you know. And I'd lost any hopes of ever making it in the music business, really, because it's just so deep. We moved to McLean, and I actually struck up a band with some McLean boys there.
Might have had one or two of them on the radio in the past.
I think you have, actually. Yeah. Ronnie Tidwell, of course, he was our lead singer in the band Southern Star that we had from McLean. We played for many years together, and just a country band, and you know, kind of some Southern rock stuff.
Now, Carrie, were you still in Lubbock while all this was going on? Or
No. I was back in McLean. My mom and dad moved back to McLean in about 1981 or 82. So my dad bought a service station there.
Okay.
They picked me up for Christmas break at New Deal Elementary School and said, hey, we're moving to McLean over Christmas break. So I said, okay.
Hey, you know, my engineer, he always seemed to move at Christmas or whatever.
That's kind of the way
he didn't have a
mic
to defend himself. Oh, he doesn't.
That's funny.
But no, like I say, I was an eighth grader when we moved back to McLean, and I started in school there, and Ronnie Tidwell's in my class. And Ronnie, in fact, has a twin brother named Bobby, or Robert Tidwell, and they both played, and we just, I finally told him, hey, my brother plays the drums, y'all, you guys need to get together. Well, there's another guy there in town that played keyboards, and I had a cousin that played bass, Robert Cooper, and it folded together real nice.
Oh, wow. Hey, can we get another song in here, Mr. Engineer? All right, you guys want to do? We're going to get to Cameron in a minute, but I'm going to let you guys talk a little bit about what you want to do here. And
Carrie, let me let Carrie sing this song here. This is a song that Carrie sings, and I'll say real quickly that you know Carrie and I both, you know, our relationship with the Lord is very important to us, and we sing mostly in church now or in those kinds of settings. Feel like that, you know, we just want to honor God. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so, and Carrie's done a lot of that, and he's going to sing you a song. It's just an old hymn here, but you get to hear his voice.
All right.
Look. Here's the deal. I started out singing a cappella because I don't play an instrument. I take that back. I play a concert tuba. But it's really hard to play a concert tuba and sing at the same time.
He can't carry it in his pocket.
That's very true. So I started out singing a cappella. And I sang a cappella for a long time, and I just did because that's what I knew how to do. And we had a guy come through, did a revival at the little Baptist church there in McLean one time named Jeff Patillo, and I was leading singing at that church, and I led singing, and he come to me and he said, I got two words of advice for you if you're going to continue to do what you're doing. I said, what's that? And he said, number one, you need to wear a tie. I said, okay. And he said, number two, you need to learn to sing with a piano, which I did, and I've done. But I'm drawn to the a cappella voice. And I just am.
Yeah, you know, Jim, my engineer, and I are into all kinds of music. And I think sometimes when you hear some of those just true a cappella songs where you get, you know, maybe three or four or five voices together, that's it's hard to beat, and especially some of the family harmony that you can get is just, it's over the top. So
absolutely. You mentioned some of the music, you know, man, I listen to everything. I mean, I don't even rap, country, rock, you name it. I listen to it because I'm so impressed with the craft. Mm-hmm. I may not necessarily agree with some of the message that some of the music puts out, but I'm really impressed with the craft of it. And with what a person's able to do and produce with their voice.
You bet.
So this is In the Garden.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the song of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush. that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Wow, there we go. Hey, the program's Lyrics and Legends. Who you heard singing there a cappella, which is a first for Lyrics and Legends, I think. Carrie Richardson from McLean, Texas. Carrie, that was fantastic.
Thank you so much.
I think I saw some hair on the back of your neck kind of standing up over there.
That's probably an understatement. I have played that thousands of times, but never had a singer like that to accompany
me. So your guy that talked to you about wearing a tie and getting a piano is what, you know, I'm okay with no tie. And that a cappella version of that song was pretty darn solid.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I've sang that song numerous times at numerous occasions, and I sang for a dear friend of ours. I believe his dad had passed away over in Oklahoma, and he asked me to come and sing this, and I went. My wife and I and a good friend of ours drove over, and I sang it. And when we got ready to leave, a little lady caught me out in the foyer of the church, and she grabbed my arm, and she looked at me in the eyes, and she said, "I didn't know where you were going with that when you started it, but it worked out." And I told her, "Thank you very much."
I didn't know where you were going with
it. I can't tell you the number of times Carrie's been caught after he has sang, and people say, "Oh my gosh, I thought you started that too high."
What a great song. Hey, so, you know, we've kind of been ignoring this lady in the middle here. Talked a little bit about her at the beginning of the program. If you're just tuning in, I've got Bobby and Carrie Richardson in the studio with me, and in the middle is Cameron. Welcome to the program, Cameron.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So a friend of mine said, you need to get these guys to come be on the radio with you. And by the way, if they come, don't let them come unless they bring Cameron with them. So you live in Shamrock?
Yes, sir.
All right. They kick you out of the nest, or what's the deal? You live in Shamrock and work at First Bank and Trust.
Yes, sir.
Because I think I met you at the lumberyard, maybe.
Probably.
Probably. Over there. So how long have you been singing, and how long have you been helping these guys out?
Well, honestly, my whole life, if we're being honest. But it started out just something we did at home. You know, just, you know, instead of watching TV, we'd turn the TV off and we'd play. You know, family would come over, we'd have a cookout, and we'd sit out by the fire, and we'd just jam, you know. And so I just grew up.
Do your older brothers, do they sing as well?
Yes, they can sing, yes, sir. And then we all three play the drums, along with my dad as well. So every single one of us plays the drums.
Well, there you
go. No one plays anything else?
Well, he plays guitar.
Okay. So she talks about sitting around the fire and jamming. So you got four people playing drums.
That's right. That's right. Kind of drum circle. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's how we started out, honestly. And then, of course, I was raised in church. So when I got a little bit older, I had always listened to my dad sing in church. And so he pulled me up there on stage with him. So I got pretty comfortable being on stage at
a young...
You
remember the first time?
I do, actually. I do.
You talk about
I do. If I'm... Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but...
No, it's your story, so yeah. Nobody...
But we, at Trinity Church in McLean, we actually didn't have a sanctuary yet. We were still still building in that warehouse. So we had a long trailer set up, and we used that as our stage in the middle of this warehouse. And he was leading worship for an event, and he asked me to come up on stage with him. And we, as a matter of fact, I think I remember the song we sang, You Never Let Go. And that was the first time I remember singing on stage with him. And the rest is history. So
I'm going to do like Facebook and fact check you here. You remember any of this, Bobby?
It's vaguely. It's foggy, but, you know, I certainly couldn't dispute it.
All right. We want to hear a little bit of Cameron singing. What do you guys think?
Let's see. We're going to sing this song here. This is another one. It's a Mercy Me song. It's called Finally Home. Cameron will sing harmony with me. And I'm not positive on the key, so if I start this wrong. All right, here we go. Let's see if we can.
I'm gonna wrap my arms around my daddy's neck, tell him that I missed him. Tell him all about the man that I became. Hope that it pleased him. There's so much I want to say. There's so much I wanted him to know. When I finally made gaze upon the throne of the King, frozen in my steps. And all the questions that I swore that I would ask, words just won't come yet. They're so amazed at what I've seen, so much more than this old mind. When I finally make it home, when I finally make it home, and the sweetest sound of things, years to hear the voices of the angels.
Program is Lyrics and Legends. In the studio with me, Bobby Richardson and Carrie Richardson from McLean, Texas. Got to slow down and pronounce my words, Carrie. You probably don't know anything about getting your tangled up?
Not at all.
And on that song, that was Cameron singing along with Bobby. That was, I love that song. That was a good choice.
Thank you.
And I a lot of the more modern worship stuff, sometimes I'm going, golly, can you do the same seven words 13 times in a row or something? But that song actually has a real good message to it. So
I really, be honest with you, I knew your dad, and I know that that song's going to mean something to you, Gary, because...
Absolutely, yeah. That's those exact thoughts were...
And so...
It's probably anybody would be... Have them going through their mind while you're listening to that.
So. Absolutely.
So you guys, you came back to McLean, started your family over there, and you worked at Tarpley's. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, I started out working for my dad. He bought that service station Carrie told you about, and we started out there. And then, but I, of course, had a fairly extensive music background, and I'd already been dabbling in sound and stuff like that from my travels around, and so. I got approached and actually offered a job at Tarpley Music in Pampa, and I believe that was like 1988, maybe 1988 or so. I might be a little wrong on that, but that's pretty close. And there was a fellow managing the music store there. His name's Bob Smith, and Bob Smith. No, that's a very generic. Ambiguous name, but Bob Smith's actually in Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he's an unbelievable musician, and was a better guy than he was a musician, but he's just an incredible musician, and he was a great influence on me. I worked for him at the music store, but I also played some music with him, and Bob introduced me to a lot of people as well. So I, Bob's gone on to heaven now. We sure miss him. But what a wonderful guy Bob Smith was, and great bass player. His bass was his instrument, but he was a wonderful guitar player, and he could play just about anything. And one quick story about Bob Smith was. He had moved from Pampa to Clovis to manage the Tarpley Music in Clovis, and he picked up some session work over there as a bass player at Norman Petty Studios. Right. I don't know if anybody will recognize that name or not. But
it's been a pretty steady topic on this program.
So Bob picked up some session work over there, and I don't remember the session fee, but it wasn't much, $25 a song or something like that. And there was a young woman that had come through Clovis and was doing some recording there, and they called Bob and said, hey, we need a bass player. This young woman's going to cut some tracks in here. He said, you want to come up and play bass? He said, sure, I'll come up and play. And so he did. And they asked him, said, now, do you want your standard rate of 25 a song, or do you want to cut off the album sales? And Bob said, I've been down that road before. So he said, I took my $25. Well, the young woman was Leanne Rimes.
Okay.
And she'd recorded the song Blue there written during that Mac. Session. Yeah. And, during that time. And so I don't even think they ever recut that song. I think they took They remastered it maybe, but the recording that was done at Norman Petty Studios was the recording that they released on her album. I'm almost positive about that. You can check me on that. But anyway, so Bob said, well, I missed that one.
So, yeah, that's another story that kind of goes around. Blue was written by, most of our listeners know, Bill Mack from Shamrock, Texas. Yeah,
absolutely.
And they called him, and he said he just reached behind because they said, we need something for this young lady to record. And he said he reached back and pulled that out. And he was like, try this one. And it was Blue. And then, neat story. Bob Smith from Pampa, Texas.
Yeah.
So, see, we always get all these great music history bits that come out of our area that I don't think a lot of people are really aware of, with Elvis's keyboard player being from over in this area who arranged like 26 of Elvis's songs and, just all these different musicians
The cool thing about that is that you pass them on the street every day. I mean, you do. You pass music greats on the street every day. You don't even know who they are. They're uncelebrated. They certainly don't celebrate themselves.
they're just average everyday people. Yeah. You know,
but Kerry, this guy's over here working at the music store in Pampa, and I imagine you're probably graduating high school, getting out on your own. And
yeah, I graduated in 1988, just about the time Bobby went to work for Tarpley's, and I went to work with my dad there at our family business, and worked side by side with my dad for 26 years until he succumbed to stage 4 stomach cancer.
Oh wow!
But
got a lot of talent and ability working over there. You know, one thing, this is kind of off the music track, but I don't know, Jim, if you ever go over there, but I've seen one or two cars that Kerry has brought back to life that I'm just going, how do you do that stuff? You know, that's a talent all in itself.
You know, that's something our dad was able to do and did. It amazed me to watch him with something mechanical, with a vehicle. You know, I could kick on a motorcycle for 30 minutes and not make it run, and he'd walk up there and hit the throttle twice and kick it once and crank. I mean, he just had the touch.
He had the Midas touch.
And you know, he worked for Honda of Lubbock for years, was their head mechanic, and it was actually sponsored as a flat track racer from Honda of Lubbock for a long time. And, you know, Bobby raced semi-professionally for a little while, and we just... Our dad always told us, he said, you know, he said, boys, I think that's why you boys have turned out the way you have, is because you're with your mom and daddy every weekend. We were going somewhere. You weren't out running around, chasing around, doing what you shouldn't be doing. You know, as a family, we went to motorcycle races every weekend.
Right.
Just like most of the kids up here go to rodeo. You know,
right.
Bobby and I rode motorcycles since we were 4 years old.
Yeah.
And that's a passion that we've always had is the mechanical side of it. Bobby's an amazing mechanic himself, and it's just something we've always loved to do.
Right. I know we've had a car show or two, and you've brought a toy over from time to time, and
every
I'm always
in a while, yes, sir.
Been impressed with what you're able to do with your hands and for those old pieces of metal. We need to get one more song, or maybe two or three more in here, but at least one more right now. What do you have in mind, Bobby?
I got a couple. One I want to do with Kerry. This is getting away from the gospel thing and kind of getting away from that. It's an old cowboy song called Night Rider's Lament.
Oh, yes.
And I know y'all know that song, so I'd like to do that one with Kerry. And he's got this really cool part at the end. So,
My wife and I have four daughters, 26, 24, 21, and 16, about to be 17. And we told the girls that we were going to come on the show, and they kind of know the premise of it and what happens. Kind of told them some of the songs we were going to do, and my oldest daughter said, Dad, please tell me you're not going to yodel on the radio.
I love this song, so I already know where we're going.
Yes, honey, I am.
Awesome.
All right.
One night while I was out riding, graveyard shift, midnight till dawn. The moon was bright as a reading light for a letter from an old friend back home. He asked me, why do they write for their money? Tell me, why do they row for short pay? They ain't getting nowhere, and they're losing their share. Or they all must be crazy out there. He said, last night I ran into Jenny. She married and she has a good life. Boy, you sure missed the track when you never came back. She's the perfect professional's wife. He asked me, why do they ride for the money? And tell me, why do they row for short pay? They ain't getting nowhere, and they're losing their share.
out there. Oh, but they've never seen the northern lights. They've never seen a hawk on the wing. They've never spent spring at the great divide. And they've never heard old Camp Cookie sing. So I read up the last of my letter. I tore off the stamp of Black Jim. Billy rode up to relieve me. He just looked at my letter and he grinned. He's asked me, why do they ride for their money? Tell me, why do they row for short pay? Ain't it getting nowhere and they're losing their share? Lord, they all must be crazy out there. Oh, they all must be crazy out there. Yodelay, 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 yodelay.
Programs, Lyrics and Legends. In the studio with us, Kerry Richardson, Bobby Richardson, Cameron Richardson. We got to hear all three of you guys on that one. And I'll tell you what, my buddy Ben Parks with American Cowboy Radio, he may want to steal this cut. Yeah. Kerry, awesome. That was a little yodeling. That may be a first on the radio. Maybe yodeling. See, you've got two firsts on Lyrics and Legends.
Well, that's awesome. You know, Bobby had mentioned his wife and his daughters, and man, we've been blessed. You know, Bobby's got two boys and his daughter, and I've got four daughters, and every one of our kids sing.
Oh, awesome.
And man, they're better than we ever thought of being. My daughter Kendallin beat me in a talent contest when she was 14 years old. And you know, as a dad, you always want your kids to do better and to be better. Absolutely. and to have better than what you've had. And man, you get these girls together. You get all those girls together, and my gosh, it's just mind-blowing.
You know, and what always gets me, too, is there's something special about the family harmony when you can get that. You know, I was expecting you guys to, and I'm familiar with you enough, I kind of knew what to expect, and then you throw Cameron into the mix, and I can just imagine sitting out there with four drum sets out by the campfire.
Yeah.
Those girls singing harmony. Now, do your girls, any of them play instruments? Or?
No, my daughter Kendallin plays a guitar about that much. She plays a guitar about as much as I play bass guitar, and it's about that much. She's an amazing songwriter and vocalist. Man, she can wail. She can sing so well. And her big sister Kendra can sing harmony with anybody in the world. It's something I wish I could do, and I can't. I sing harmony a little. Kendra can fall in with anyone and kill it. Our daughter Sarah sings and sings very well. Riley, our youngest daughter, sings and sings very well. And I love just getting in the car with those guys and them turning on songs and playing music. My wife, Chatrell, my lovely wife, Chatrell, she sings as well. You know, Bobby's wife, Missy, sings. And, man, we've really been blessed with talent awesome. And ability.
We've been looking forward to getting you guys over here. We want to get another song in here. We're going to run out of time here eventually, but I want to get something in. What do you have in mind?
I just want to do one little bitty thing with Cameron. I'm not going to do the whole song, but just do a little beginnings of this song just so you can kind of hear her on her own. for a second, and a song we worked on just a little bit last night. We're not going to do it all because I know we're short on time.
No, and we got time.
And we want to finish. We want to finish with a song that Carrie and I sing all the time. But this one here is something that Cameron and I worked up. We worked on last night. We're not finished.
You
on
do it as much as you feel okay. comfortable with, because we know the guys that own the radio station. We can fit this in.
I'm the daughter of a working man. He built our world with his two hands. He gave us everything he had. I'm the daughter of a working man. I'm a restless girl from a red dirt town. Like a tumbleweed, I rolled right out. The wind will bring me back around, 'cause I'm a restless girl from a red dirt town. And I don't know what's down the road from here, but I can only hope it's something good. If love's to be my compass, then I'm fine with what's to come. 'Cause part of knowing where I'm going is knowing where I'm from. There's a burning deep down in my soul, like a field on fire out of control. It lights my way when I'm far from home. Yes, there's a burning deep down in my soul, and I don't know what's down the road from here, but I can't. Then I'm fine with what's to come. 'Cause part of knowing where I'm going is knowing where I'm from. And I don't know. But I can only hope it's something good. If love's to be my compass, then I'm fine with what's to come. 'Cause part of knowing where I'm going is knowing where I'm from. I'm the daughter of.
The program is Lyrics and Legends. We're going to run you two guys off and let Cameron do the rest of the show. Cameron Richardson.
Yes, sir.
All right. Not married or anything?
No, sir. Okay. Just me.
Okay. Just want to make sure I got the name straight.
So. Yes, sir.
So, wow. That's awesome, Bobby. Carrie, teach her everything she knows, you think?
There? That's right. Uncle Carrie over here.
Well, what a great song. We can probably get one more song in here. Oh, he's got a song to close.
I do.
Okay. All right, so normally we have what we call the Department of Shameless Plugs. So people that, you know, are touring or have CDs or, you know, all these accounts or whatever, they can tell people where to find their music or whatever. But the good thing about the Department of Shameless Plugs is you can brag on your family, your church, or your dog, or whatever it is. So you guys have about 2 or 3 minutes here, whatever you want to do each, to talk about whatever you want to talk about and plug your wife that puts up with you, or your church that keeps you from going insane or whatever. So we're going to start with Bobby, I think.
Well, I'd like to thank Ware Chevrolet for bringing up.
Man, I love that. That's a keeper.
You know, I would like to thank my wife. You know, I mean, my wife a lot of times is behind the scenes, and she helps us with sound, and she helps us with a lot of things. Obviously, she does what all wives do, you know what I mean, and they're definitely the unsung heroes of the family, you know, and I just want to give a shout-out to her, my wife, Missy Richardson, also my sweet sister-in-law, Chatrell Richardson, she's precious to us. And, you know, of course, there's Jackie, our brother Kenny's wife that she's remarried now, but Jackie Kaling Richardson, Richardson Kaling, and she's a great, great woman as well. I just want to say thanks to them. All these girls, these kids, Carrie and I definitely are not the talent in this family. It's definitely our kids that are, they're amazing.
I can see where the foundation comes from.
So we're, Carrie and I are just pleased as punch to take the back seat to them. And I mean that wholeheartedly. Wouldn't you agree, Carrie? We love to see them. Cameron, I will say, you know, one of the shameless plugs I'll say about Cameron is that, and I'm sure you know this, but Cameron is, you know, she's had the opportunity to sing harmony with like J.W. Lane. And,
right.
And Cameron is one of those, kind of like Carrie was talking about his daughter Kendra. Cameron's one of those, she could sing harmony with anyone. She just got that ear that she can harmonize. And, she's just amazing. And I know it's tough to be talked about when you're sitting here beside her because she's blushing. She's as red as your shirt is right now, Gary. But, anyway, I want to say I can't say enough about her and what she's done, you know, as far as applying herself. You know, I've never set out to teach my kids to be musicians. Never intended that at all. It's just my kids have come to me and wanted to, hey, Dad, I want to know how to play the drums, and so I teach them how. My oldest son, my second son, Cameron, they've all asked. You know, it's not something I've ever pushed on any of them. And my nieces too, you know, they've at times, you know, like Kendall, you want to know a little about guitar. And so, you know, it's one of those things that it's got to be in you.
All right.
It's got to be in you. You got to want to do it. You can't force a kid to take lessons and make them like it.
Right.
You can't do that. It's got to be something that they want to pursue. And these guys do, they just do an amazing job. And you know, I guess that's about all I've got. I just want to say,
I had one more question for you before we move to these other guys. How many churches do you think you've put sound systems in?
That's an enormous number. I couldn't even begin to tell you. I don't have any idea. maybe a few thousand.
Yeah, that's something we probably skipped over earlier. But this guy's done church sound systems, and I'm assuming other venues or whatever.
Well,
but,
yeah, sound, video, and theatrical lighting typically is what we do. But you know, I predominantly we pretty well focus on church. I mean, that's you know, I got saved at a late age in life, kind of, and when God saved my soul, He gave me a love for church and church people, and so when you know, we were in the business to do that, that's who I wanted to focus on. I didn't want to, you know, work in other places where I didn't feel comfortable at
right.
the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so yeah, it's been primarily churches.
Awesome.
We do some schools and some.
So that's a shameless plug. If you need a help with your sound system on your church, get a hold of this guy. So, Carrie.
Yes, sir.
Here's your chance. You can.
Well, it's just like Bobby says.
Earn brownie points at home here.
I need those too. I really do. You know, I do. I want to thank my wife because, you know, we get called and asked to go and do and sing and this and that and the other. And I mean, she always makes sure I don't forget this because I'd forget my head if it wasn't tied on, and that's the honest truth. And
so
my
would Gary Ware.
Yeah, it happens.
And,
believe me.
fortunately and unfortunately at times, my wife has a photographic memory, so she remembers everything. She remembers everything. Did I mention everything? But amazing woman, amazing strong woman. My oldest daughter Kendra, my next youngest daughter Kendalyn, the next youngest daughter Sarah Lynn, and our baby, Riley. God has blessed me with some of the most amazing, funny, talented, intelligent girls in this world. And, you know, people always ask, say, well, you didn't have any boys. That didn't matter to me. Never has. Never has. My girls are amazing. And it's just like Bobby says, we are more than happy to take a step back and let them shine. And they do.
Absolutely.
Just amazing kids, amazing wives. Bobby's wife, Missy, is not only a sister-in-law, but a true friend and a blessing to me and my wife. And Cameron and Zach and Zane, you know, we love each other and we're family. Amen. And it shows and we mean it. Mm-hmm. You
speaking
know,
of that, well, real quickly, I want to interrupt you just for a second because Zach and Zane are my two boys, and I didn't really say anything about them. That's not because I don't love them. I love them. I appreciate them. Those guys are really amazing people. They've got families of their own, and they provide for their families. They do a great job. I love my boys and certainly the grandkids they've produced for us. You know,
those are fun, aren't they?
I'm over the moon about my grandkids, Gary. So I just want to say, Zach and Zane, I love you guys and love your whole families. So thanks.
All right.
And, you know, I get the opportunity to sing with my brother. My brother is a blessing to me. Always has been. And there's been times we haven't seen eye to eye, but
we're
brothers and we love each other. And if he calls, I'll be there. And if I call, he'll be there.
Right.
And that's what means the most to me.
We've
got a family that's close and has always been close and is going to stay close. And, man, I just encourage people today, hug your brother, tell him you love him. Hug your mom and daddy. Tell them you love them because you never know what could happen. You never know what could be coming.
Amen.
Don't wait and think they know. Make sure of it.
That's awesome. Right.
Cameron, you get to do. You get the last word.
The
lady
the
always
last
gets the last
words.
Word.
Yes,
well,
sir.
We got another song coming, I think, maybe. But you get the last word of the Department of Shameless.
Okay. Well, thank you. First of all, before I say anything else, I would say that this my Uncle Carrie over here, just so y'all know, with four daughters. He can braid hair just about as best as anyone in the world, I think.
He didn't learn it on his own.
Lots of trial and error.
Oh, okay.
No, but honestly, you know, they're absolutely right. Growing up in a family like this, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I mean, it's just been a blessing from God to grow up in such a musical family. And such a funny family, you know. One of my favorite things to do is just to get these two guys together and just to sit back and listen, just because they're just great together. But yeah, and my cousin Kendallin, you know, we're the closest in age. We're 4 weeks apart, and we love to sing together, harmonies together, you know. And so we've done a lot of that throughout our childhood in talent shows and church and everything else, you know. And so I'm just extremely grateful for all the opportunities that God's given
us. We're going to wrap this up with a song. What do you have in mind, Bobby?
Carrie and I are going to do a song that we get asked to do. We started doing this song in 1997, so this is called Go Rest High. I know at times your life was troubled, and only you could know the pain. You weren't afraid to face. We're no stranger to the rain, so go rest high.
Program's Lyrics and Legends. I want to thank our good friends, Bobby, Carey, Richardson, and Cameron Richardson for coming over and being a part of the program. You guys, we really appreciate it. We love the talent. And we love what you do. And thank you for taking time to visit with us on the program.
Thank you. And, appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you so much.
We look forward to seeing you guys around again real soon.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with Gary Ware. Join us next time on the Legends Radio Network.